You are listening to a Mom Forum recap episode. Here's where I share my own thoughts and personal experiences relating back to the previous episode. Be sure that you catch our interviews with moms sharing their journey through motherhood, and then come back and catch the recaps. Before I start the show, I just want to remind you to hit that subscribe button. And if you can, take a moment to leave a review for us so we know what you think about the podcast so far. We would greatly appreciate it. I also want to invite you to the Mom Self-Care Planning Workshop. That's right. I am hosting a workshop to help moms create intentional self-care plans that are practical and that you can use on a daily basis. Why? Because mamas, we got to take care of ourselves. We cannot pour for an empty well. And so I'm going to be leading a workshop to teach you how to take steps throughout your day to fill your well up so that you can pour into your children and your families. So I hope to see you there Saturday, October 6th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. here in Los Angeles. Click on the link in the show notes and you will get more information about purchasing tickets, and I hope to see you there. Now, last week I sat down with my friend Autumn Hickok, who is an adoptive mom of two children, and it was really great to talk to someone who had also been through the process of family court and fostering, as I have with my oldest. And the thing that I want to talk about today, I think, is maybe a little taboo. And I don't often hear people talking about it, but there is some truth there. It's very true. And the thing that I want to talk about is falling in love with your adoptive child. It is a process. It is not something that happens overnight, because you don't spend that 9 months carrying the child and dreaming about the child. And it really depends in terms of adoption. If you've been going through the process for a long time, you probably have imagined and dreamed, but it's a little bit different because you know that that child is not going to be your DNA. You have no idea the background they're going to be coming from. You have no idea the things that have already influenced them, possibly the trauma that they have experienced. And the older that the child is, the more all of that comes into play. Autumn adopted two biological siblings, actually. The youngest was 7 weeks at the time of adoption, and the oldest, I believe, was 2.5. I took custody of my oldest 3 years ago, and at the time, he was 9 years old. And just to be really honest, it has been a process. I had a bit of an advantage. My oldest is also happens to be a family member. He is technically my cousin. So he was my aunt's child, who has since passed away, unfortunately. And he has been living with us for the last 3 years due to her illness and her battling with her health. And so as a 9-year-old, he's coming to us with this whole life and this whole set of beliefs and this whole set of morals. And he doesn't know us, not in the sense that I'm coming to across the country to live with these people and they now are in charge of me. I can only imagine the shift that he had to go through. And any child in that situation, foster kids, who are going to all of these homes and they never know what to expect, or and they also need the time to trust and to fall in love. And it's just not an immediate thing. I could say that I felt open and caring towards my child, and I did love him because he was family and we had interacted before. But here he is, this 9-year-old, coming into this established family dynamic, and we have to get to know each other. And that is definitely a process. And I don't know that this is something that is often talked about because it's almost as if I feel bad saying that. It's of no fault of anyone's. It just is the situation. And when you make those choices to adopt children and even a foster children, and even more so in fostering situations, because at any moment that child could no longer be in your home. And so when we first got Legend, even though we thought that he was going to be here permanently, we weren't sure. So there's always that hanging around too, when you are building an attachment with that child, which is absolutely necessary. In order for a child to trust and feel love, there has to be attachment, and you have to work to build that attachment so that you can begin to build the bond and the trust between the two of you, the three of you, all the people involved in your family. But it is a roller coaster of an experience. There's ups, there's downs, there's, oh my God, what did we do? And it's in varying degrees for every family. It really depends on the trauma that the child has experienced, the experiences that have led up to the child being adopted. Granted, if they're newborns, that you're a lot less likely to interact in that way and have to deal with the background of their life because they're coming to you fresh and new, and newborns are adorable and they don't talk back to you and they don't have opinions, or they don't know that they have been removed from people that they have seen as their parents. So I think it's easier to adjust when you have a newborn, but it's still a process. Even when you are pregnant, I think because you get that 10 months really throughout your pregnancy to kind of adjust into motherhood and, you know, get used to the idea of it. And also adopting is a process, and no matter the time that you take to get there, because some take much longer than others, it's still a process that you get to adjust to. But when you're handed an older child that was not raised by you, was not raised using your morals, your ideas, it is not easy. And you're asking this child to trust you and love you and treat you as you are the one that will forever protect them. And honestly, they don't know you. And they don't know that all of that is actually going to happen. And so there is a very, very, very steep, steep, steep learning curve. And Autumn says it in the last podcast episode, you need all the therapy and support that you can get, because sometimes you just don't even know what's coming. Like, there could be some reserved anger that comes out in big spurts. There could be some learning disabilities. There could be some past sexual abuse. There could be abandonment issues. There are so many things that can pop up in so many different ways. And you just have to go through it. And again, the same thing can happen with biological children. If there are learning disabilities or anything like that, these are things you don't really expect and you don't know. But as a foster or adoptive parent, there's so many things that you're going through. And I think also the other part of it is when you are going through the process of making it all legal and you're having to go to family court. It is the longest, most drawn-out process. I don't even understand what or why it takes as long as it does. The continuations that happen, the county agencies that have to be involved, or the state agencies, the testimony that has to go back and forth, the paperwork that has to happen. It was just a lot. Not to mention just actually physically going to family court and experiencing all the people there and watching all the things that are happening. I mean, one of the days that I was at family court, which at the time I had to travel back and forth to New York for the first couple of these dates before we actually got custody of my oldest, there was like some type of altercation or something, and all of a sudden all of the guards go running out of the floor that we were on down the stairs to deal with this altercation. I mean, there's just so many things going on in family courts. There's a lot of people that have hurt feelings, that are upset, that are dealing with things that they don't want to have to deal with. There's separations going on. It is not a happy place to be for the most part. And yet, when you're going through that foster and adoption process, you got to keep going back to this place. And then you get your hopes up and you're like, yes, they said this is the time. This is the time they're going to do the next official step, whatever that is. And then you get there and you prepared yourself and your emotions. And then, nope, we're going to have a continuation until this date. And you're like, what? Why? I don't even understand. There's just so many parts of it. And another part of it, especially with older children, is regardless if it's been a terribly traumatic situation or like in my situation where his mother couldn't care of him more so for health reasons, this child has been separated from the people that they know as parents. In one way or the other, there is some type of love there for those parents. And we're asking them to suddenly be bonded to us as their new parents. If someone told you that, you would look at them like they were crazy. You want me to just attach to a new person that I don't know and follow their rules and do as they say, even if it's in the exact opposite of what my biological parents have told me? It is just not that simple. It doesn't happen that quickly. Like I said, it is a process of bonding and growing together. And over the last 3 years with my oldest, we have seen significant changes in him. He is a whole lot happier now that he's used to us and he knows that this is where he's going to be, that we are a constant for him now, that he can depend on us, that we have shown and proven our love and care for him. Even though, of course, you know, when we take away his iPad or make him read, he has the worst life in the world. But hey, I take that as an indicator as I am doing a darn good job with him and that we are at a normal phase because he is 12 now. And I guess it is my job now to ruin his life with the most minor of things. So we have come a very, very long way. And I mean, honestly, I have to give it to the kid. He trusted us. He invested in this situation and for the most part has not given us a ton of trouble. There's been some growing, a lot of growing, I think on all of our parts. And also on our other kids' parts, they have opened their hearts and their home to have an older brother. And that's another thing. There were a lot of adjustments in terms of people's placement in the family that I didn't even think about that came up. Like Jackson, my 7-year-old, was no longer the big brother. And I'm sure that took some adjusting for him because he had to kind of change his place in the family. Not so much for the baby because he came about somewhere in the middle of this process. So, and I think a little different for Nolan too, because she was so young. So she just doesn't know it any other way. And frankly, in this moment, I have to give some huge kudos to my husband, because when the situation came up, when my oldest needed a home or he was going to end up in foster care, which he actually did end up in foster care for a while as we were going through the legality of all of it. He didn't ask any questions. My husband did not question the situation at all. He listened to me, said, "You got it, babe. He can come here." Unbelievable. That man is just unbelievable. I guess when you have as many kids as we have, when you bring another one in, it just doesn't really make that much of a difference in terms of physical space and finances and all that kind of stuff. So my husband has been amazingly supportive, and I don't know a lot of men that would do what he has done in taking this amazing kid in and loving him as his own and raising him as his own with not a question about it. But it was just really wonderful to chat with Autumn, because I don't know that these are things that I could say in front of a lot of people, because it just seems so taboo. And I even feel guilty saying that it took a while to really form the bond with my child. But that is the truth of the matter. And if you are a foster mom or adoptive mom, I would love to hear from you. You can either email us at info@themom-forum.com and share your story. You can tweet us at The Mom Forum on Twitter and share your story with us that way, and just hashtag it The Mom Forum Podcast. And I would love to hear from you guys. In what ways did you struggle to adjust to being an adoptive mom or a foster mom? And if you have not already listened to it, I will say it again. Go listen to Autumn Hickok's episode. And she talks about so many parts of this, the struggle and all the things that they went through, the therapy, so on and so forth. And I just want to share a lot of the things that don't get talked about in episodes like this and bring up the topics that may be taboo, especially the ones that I have personally experienced. So I hope that maybe you learned something new or got a new perspective from listening to this one. And again, I'm going to remind you, press that subscribe button so you can get notifications when you get new podcasts. And please rate the podcast. Give us a review. It will be so helpful to getting this out. And share this. Go ahead and click on those social media icons on the bottom and share it. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. We love you for it. And don't forget to check out next week's episode. I will see you guys, or hear from you guys, the next time. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on The Mom Forum.